Fisher were sent off to the world court. Their plans for global domination were preemptively cut short. Their weapons of mass destruction were inspected and destroyed. Battleships dismantled, never again to be deployed.
This is the Quality News Network. Starting tomorrow, Lebanese troops will begin moving south of the Litani River. Those forces will take the place of Israeli forces in southern Lebanon, though Israel may maintain a presence there until the arrival of a UN peacekeeping force. The cabinet approved the plan today, the third day of the UN-brokered ceasefire. But the issue of disarming Hezbollah, a key UN demand, was not addressed. A top Hezbollah leader has indicated that the militant group will not disarm and will instead blend back into the local community. In France, officials are urging Israel to lift its blockade of Lebanon so relief supplies can reach residents there. But Israel's foreign minister says a blockade will help prevent Hezbollah from rearming and should stay in place. In Israel, a committee will investigate how the 34-day war was conducted. But their probe will be conducted by a military committee, not an independent commission, as some have requested. The investigation comes after mounting criticism over how the war was handled. In London, the judge has ordered the 23 suspects who were arrested in an alleged plot to blow up airlines over the Atlantic to be held in custody until next week. The other suspect, who was arrested yesterday, was not part of the hearing. In Washington, Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff announced new counterterrorism mandates that could be implemented next year. They require the airlines provide passenger lists of any U.S.-bound flights to U.S. officials. In Baghdad today, at least 19 people were killed in bombings. Yesterday, the Iraqi Health Ministry announced that July was the deadliest month on record. In southeastern Afghanistan, insurgents killed a policeman and wounded at least seven others during a coalition raid on suspected al-Qaeda compounds. U.S. and Afghan forces arrested eight people and seized a cache of weapons, explosives, and communication equipment. Off the shore of Mexico, federal agents have arrested a Mexican drug lord. He is believed to be responsible for a network of smuggling tunnels between Mexico and the U.S. He is a leader of a gang that could be responsible for 20 murders. In Alaska, tens of thousands of acres of wetlands will soon be open to new oil drilling. The area is believed to contain at least 2 billion barrels of oil and large amounts of natural gas. Bidding will open this week, and the winning bids will be announced next month. Also in Alaska, British Petroleum shareholders are suing the company over what it calls the company's poor maintenance practices in Prado Bay. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The Federal Reserve says factory, mine, and utilities output rose by 0.4% last month. That's half of the increase reported in June. And the Labor Department reports that the Consumer Price Index also rose by 0.4%, double the amount from June. Also, core inflation rose by 0.2% in July. That comes after four straight months of 0.3% increases. Ford has announced plans to close dealerships in 18 cities due to falling sales. Most of the closures will reportedly take place east of the Mississippi. Shares of Sony and Matsushita, which both make lithium-ion batteries, have jumped. That comes after Dell announced a recall of about 4 million laptops due to a faulty battery manufactured by Sony. The former CEO of the online gambling company BetOnSports has been released on $1 million bond. He faces racketeering and fraud charges. And Procter & Gamble has partnered with Avis Rent-A-Car to provide toiletries to travelers. Starting today, packages containing toothpaste, mouthwash, and floss will be left in rental cars at some airports. Light sweet crude settled today at $71.89. And at the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 97 points at 11,327. The NASDAQ was up 35 points at 2150. The S&P 500 was up 10 points at 1295. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, good. Proselytizing to the masses he is, he's out on the road with Brother Mark, going to go see the Union Boys and have a bit of a chat. But to carry it through this prayer meeting edition from the ostracized and the agnosticized Church of Sydney comes Brother John Fox. And way up north, on the north side, is the one and only Brother Bruce. Bruce Birch, are you feeling me tonight, brother?
Oh, yes, yes, Lord, I'm feeling you tonight, Brother John. But we've got to try something here different this evening here, Brother John. My feeling is on this tonight that we've got to bring about some change in the souls of our listeners this evening, John. We've got to try to bring about a little bit of saving their souls. And I think we'll try to do that a little bit, John. Here we are. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're not Bob Kincaid. As a matter of fact, we're nowhere near Bob Kincaid. But we are here. John and I are here, and we're gonna try to carry you through so that at least you'll be mildly entertained, if not downright agnosticated, as a result of the show this evening.
Well, you know, Bruce, we haven't filled in for Bob in a while, and the last time we did, things got really out of control. You know, we had a ring from the president, all kinds of crazy stuff kind of went on, but we have armed ourselves with stuff, and as you know, and we haven't even gotten there, I'm sorry, Agnes, tonight is prayer meeting edition.
Indeed.
Every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club. We are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
So... We've got some audio for a little bit later. We're going to talk about a few things. Bruce and I are going to throw a few things from Fourth Estate Radio in here, like the Axis of Iniquity and a few other things. Because we feel like it, and we've hijacked the show for the day.
Wait! We've hijacked it? Hold on! We've hijacked it. Do you mean we actually? How do we do? Oh, that's right. I was able to smuggle on board some toothpaste and hydrogen peroxide. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, that means that John Fox and I are now in control. We're in charge. We've got screwdrivers. We're going to take this thing over. And you know what we're going to fly it to? Where are we going to fly the plane, John?
Don't go there, man. Agent Fred's going to have a coronary. But I was going to say, I'm standing here with my bottle of seltzer and Mentos, just in case anyone makes a false move.
Okay. I have a question for you, John.
Yes?
The question is, are you a real Christian? If you have never personally trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to listen very carefully, for it is going to be spoken just for you. What is truth? What is love? What is the gospel? Oh, my goodness. I'm reading some stuff here that just makes me... Oh, my goodness. Okay. You know, John, I totally blew you out of the water.
What do you have there, Bruce? What are you reading that's freaking you out?
I'm reading something called... it's from a thing called... It's called... It's from a site called The Christian Flag.
Oh, I saw that. Our news ninja sent us that sent that our way. That is very scary. Please tell the listeners.
Let me just read you the allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One brotherhood, uniting all mankind in service and love. That's right. No women allowed. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Enough of that. Enough of that. I just, you know, but John, there's a number of things out there today, and I think you have a couple of items strictly for tonight's prayer meeting edition. Tell me about those.
Well, hold on. I'm sorry, having to send a message into the old production chat there for some audio. Well, I was having a look around for some things. I got some stuff about one of the right-wing knobends actually had some Zionist freak on that was claiming that George Bush is the best ever policymaker in the Middle East in this century.
He is. He really is. Because, see, you know, we got to kill them all. And then once we kill them all, then we can do what we want over there, right? So that's isn't that a good thing? Okay, well, maybe it's not.
Okay, Well, here's a question. Here's a question that my partner Gail and I have been bouncing around for the past few days.
Boing.
Okay, we boing 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 boing. the American population, through not getting the whole story, you know, is backing this has backed this very very how shall we say out of balance reaction from Israel. Now, we were doing some research. Lebanon is 39% Christian. Do you realize that?
39%?
It's 39%.
I did know that actually. It is amazing though, isn't it?
Well, here's the thing. You have all these fundamentalist just nutbags going out and actually backing non-Christians killing Christians. Do you see where I have a problem with this? Not that I personally, I have a problem with anyone killing anyone. But there's a slight bit of confusion here. You know, they always wrap it as that confusion in our media? Never! But, you know, they constantly are talking about the Arabs and the Muslims and all. And, man, I'm really, really getting tired of these racist kind of diatribes on Islam. And the audio that I've got later, it drives me nuts. It's one of these things, like going back to the semantics of reporting thing, you know. You feed the dumb 34% or whatever it is in this country that these are all just dirty Muslims, but yet 4 out of 10 people being killed are Christian. How does that play with your God?
I don't know, but you know, I'm thinking that instead of ambulances, you know, because after all, those people over there, you know, they're according to the Bush administration and those in power, they cannot be capable of higher thought. Therefore, they can't have ambulances. And instead, what they do when the bombs hit is they have this cart that rides along. And I just happen to have some audio from the guy who rides the cart around that carries all the dead bodies. Agnes, if you would run that, please.
I'm not dead.
What? Nothing. Here's your ninepence.
I'm not dead.
Here.
He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Oh, I can't take him like that. It's against regulations.
I don't want to go on the car.
Oh, don't be such a baby.
I can't take him.
I feel fine.
Well, do us a favour.
I can't.
Well, can you hang around a couple of minutes? He won't be long.
No, I've got to go to Robinson's. They've lost 9 today.
Well, when's your next run?
Thursday.
I think I'll go for a walk.
You're not fooling anyone, you know. Look, isn't there something you can do?
I feel happy. I feel happy.
Ah, oh, thanks very much.
Not at all. See you on Thursday.
Right.
And there you have it. That's... How did I get that? Well, you know, I have some very deep, deep cover sources over there, and it's my understanding as well that they have a secret order of religious freakazoids who walk around all day and whack themselves. I actually have some audio
really?
Of that as well. Yes, yeah, you want to hear that too, John?
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay. Agnes, if you want to run the monks there.
Fie Jesu Domine, dona eis requiem.
Ow! Ouch! So that's how they get the ideology in their brains. They have to smack themselves in the head with a stone tablet. That's how it works.
Exactly.
So that's,
yeah, see what
so
happens is the words get... Yes?
Go.
No, the words get impressed. You know, instead of reading the stone tablet, what they do is they hit themselves hard in the head with it, and the words, by osmosis, mind you, get actually transmitted through the skull and into the cranium area where it's stored for further use. Now, they have to flip the stone tablet around, though, and then sometimes it ends up backwards, in which case sometimes they start doing the things they weren't supposed to do. It gets kind of crazy, John. It really does.
Well, you know, we're gonna have to go out to a break here in just a second. But how's this for an idea? How about we go and get the Downing Street minutes chiseled out into some concrete blocks, and we can go and start smacking these people over the head with them. Maybe then they'll get the point.
That's a great idea. That's a fantastic. No, that's not just a great idea. That's a smashing idea, John.
Boom.
I think we're going to take
a
break.
But anyway, yeah, I think we are going to take a break. You're listening to Brother John and Brother Bruce fill it in for Brother Bob, who's on the road here on Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute on the Head On Radio Network.
The Homeland Security Advisory System is designed to provide warnings as the risk of terrorist acts increases. If the severe condition signified in red is declared, it's recommended that you avoid public gathering places or other high-profile locations. Public transportation may be impacted, and non-essential public and government facilities may be closed. Go to the Homeland Security website at www.dhs.gov for more information. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Yet found. Let's disappear and we'll hide underground. And we'll get high and we'll feel safe and sound. It comes around. Right, yeah, 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 yeah. Got my soul singing, my soul singing.
Soul singing.
John, are you with us?
Whoops. Sorry, operator error. My operator error. Welcome back to Head On, everybody. John Fox and Bruce Birch here, filling the pulpit for Brother Bob on a prayer meeting edition. I love that track that just played in. Kind of somehow with all this Southern thing that this network has, man. You know, there's been no Black Crows. How did that happen? Did I miss something? Is there something wrong with the Black Crows? Did I, you know?
Yes, you missed the memo. You missed the memo, John. The memo said no Black Crows until 2007. Something to do with a time capsule and some liquor. I don't know. I'm joking. There was no memo. But I appreciate it. That's a great song.
Yeah, and you know it's kind of funny is that's off an album called Lions, and you know, through, as you mentioned at the end of your show, you know, I've done a bit of traveling around this here little planet, and when I left the United States and was in Germany for a while and whatnot, you kind of lose a little bit of track of some bands and things that, you know, you usually have kind of in regular rotation and whatnot. And I missed, like, the last three Black Crows records. And I was actually cleaning up a storage area in this house that I live in, and this CD just pops up out of it, nowhere. Never seen it, never heard it. How old is it? I have no idea. But I put the thing in, and I came across that track, and I'm just like going, ah, how perfect. You know, and those guys, and this will be the end of my little musical rant. One of the things that I always liked about the Black Crows is most of their albums were recorded live, as in very little overdubbing. Most of it was just live jam, straight down to tape. How it went is how it was. And so they always had that very, very live energy feel, something that I miss in the modern day. But anyway, we got prayer meeting stuff to do. Are you familiar with a blog, Bruce, by the name of Jesus General?
Yes, I am. I've heard of it. Yes, I've seen it a few times.
Okay.
I don't go there often, but yeah.
Patriotboy.blogspot.com. And Jesus General, who's the main character there, kind of plays a very, very tongue-in-cheek, shall we say, piss take on the right-wing religious media and its supporters. And he'll write some very, very funny articles in the tone of a supporter of racist religious people and all these kind of things. And he has a he has a letter a couple posts back at his blog, and it's a letter to Mr. Ailes of Fox News. And he says, I hope the recent ratings news isn't getting you down. Ha, ha, ha. You've accomplished a lot at Fox. Your viewers are the only people left in the country you still believe were winning in Iraq. And that's an incredible accomplishment. And then there's the bigotry. Not only have you and your on-air talent made it socially acceptable to be a bigot again, you've turned it into an act of patriotism. And boy, how are your viewers have embraced it. Why, just last Saturday, a man intimidated Maryland legislative candidate Saghib Ali's campaign staff by sitting in front of their offices with a sign saying, "Islam sucks." Surely he's a guy who watched a lot of Bill O'Reilly and John Gibson. I mean, he'd have to have heard a lot of rants about Islamofascism to proudly display his bigotry in the open like that. And this is supposed to be news.
News.
So you have,
that's a loaded
staff.
Yeah.
That just rages me. It really does. You know, here, you know, they all this call about going, there are no, you know, all this bull dinky about the fact that there's you know, all the you know, centrist and moderate Arabs and Islamists or whatever they want to use are either wimpy or don't exist. Well, then you get someone who's an actual American citizen who wants to get involved in the process. That scares the crap out of them, so they have to try and destroy him. You know, it blows me away. I mean, this just shows the hubris of these people that, you know, they can have this entire organization just out to lie, as we know. And it goes against everything, you know. I'm an agnostic, you know, and I fly that flag proudly. Because I believe in faith, in real faith, but I personally think organized religion, or the religion industry, as Brother Bob likes to say, has nothing to do with faith. And I have a real problem with organized religion because it unfortunately leads to religious fanatics who believe that they can do whatever they want as long as they're doing it in the name of some god,
like diamond mining using children with hands and legs blown off, you know, Pat Robertson and his ilk, you know. Fanaticism, which is really what it is. Let's boil it down to brass tacks. It's fanaticism. I mean, you can become a fanatic about any damn thing, and the behavior is still the same, John. My feeling is that, you know, and of course, part of it is the religious angle, but, you know, the reality is that these people are fanatics, and they are willing to die for their causes. They are willing to do whatever it takes to try to push forward force their beliefs upon you and I. And quite honestly, the reality of this, in my view, in my opinion, and of course, you know, it's subject to change and also, you know, subject to revision, is that, you know, when we have folks like Roger Ailes, when we have folks like the Reverend Sun Myung-moon, who owns the Washington Times and the Universal Press Syndicate, Universal Press International, whatever it is, you know, we have people who are in very unique positions to push forth a propaganda on us And it's our job to try to discern that. Now, what does that say about the rest of the people? Are they smart? Are they stupid? Are they listening? Or is it just repetition over and over and over again, and people accept things as fact as a result? I don't know. I don't know. I do know that we need to take a break, and we'll go ahead and do that, and we'll come back and handle your phone calls at 1-877-443-2366. You can email either one of us, Bruce at fourthestateradio.com, John at fourthestateradio.com. Either way, we'll get you. All right. John and I will be right back after these messages. God, sometimes you just don't come through. God, sometimes you just don't come through. You need a woman to look after you. God, sometimes you just
God willing, we will prevail in peace and freedom from fear and in true health through the purity and essence of our natural fluids.
Planet Check. Planet Check.
Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm, Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today in our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution. Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to irs.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. 4484.
Yeah.
right, you're back on Head On with Bob Kincaid. My name is Bruce Birch, and on the other side of the world, or the other side of the planet, is my good friend John Fox. John, you still with us?
Yes, mate. I'm here. Another great track sneaking by. When you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. I want to get into some other audio, some nutbag right wing jackass audio, if that's okay. Found
Jack
on
away.
Media Matters. Yes. Could say these guys jack something, but I won't go there. There's this guy. I've never actually caught this guy before. Glenn Beck. Are you familiar with this guy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, he just seems like a complete and utter knob end. I'll have to put up that Aussie dictionary one day. Beck has warnings from Muslims who have sat on their frickin' hands and have not lined up to shoot the bad Muslims in the head. So, Agnes, would you please roll? And now, because I think I called the wrong.
All right, well, first the ceasefire, now the credit. Many critics were betting that President Bush would fail the test on the Israel and Hezbollah conflict. Not my next guest. Jonathan Tobin says that this president's handling of the Middle East
Agnes. I
is
you with the wrong
best this generation has seen by far.
I'm sorry, Agnes. I cued you. I totally cued you the wrong audio, but we're going to get the right one queued up because we're going to go to that one later. That one's also very, very interesting. And as I look here, bloody! I can't find it. Bugger!
Tell you what, John.
Sorry.
Why don't you look for the audio, and while you do that, I'll take Luke.
Do that.
Okay, we got Luke on line one, our good friend Luke from Knoxville, Knox Vegas, Viva Knox Vegas, Tennessee. Luke, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm just fine. The thing y'all were talking about earlier reminded me about the them now running out this new term. Islamofascist. I just remember
the
thing that they ran. I remember Bill Maher running it on his show. When they were trying to push the criminalization of politics, back when it was the whole thing with Karl Rove and Scooter Libby, and they ran this whole montage of all the guys at Fox and gals using that term, criminalization of politics. They were the only people using it, and they were trying to push the idea, and it kind of died off. And that's what we've had with this. It's like say it's gone
well,
out
you
on
know,
the talking point to use that term.
He certainly has. And you know where that came from originally?
Which one was the first
Michael
one?
Michael the Savage Wiener.
Oh.
He started using that term, I want to say, 2 years ago.
Well, I
And it's caught on in the right wing.
It took 2 years to come up through the crud of him, I tell you. But, the one that's got to me right now, I heard it tonight on ABC, and I've thought this for the last 2-3 days, is... It's going to be interesting the next time Lebanon has elections and we see that Hezbollah picks up a whole lot of seats. You know what I mean? Cause
it is going to be interesting, isn't it? What are we going to do then? See, this is what has bugged me about that, Luke, is that and this happened in Palestine as well. There's a democratic election, and because we disagree with the result, all of a sudden it's no longer a democracy.
Well, it's like say. Yeah, I say now this fellow that's in charge of them, what is it? I got it written down here real quick. Nasrallah. It's like saying now he's got two brain cells in his head that's functioning. He's going to say, everybody put the rockets up. We're going to rebuild for the next 2 years. You know, we're going to help people and we're going to spread the money around. And for the next 2 years, we are the, you know, the helpers. Every time somebody turns around, we're going to be there helping. And in 2 years, they will be the government of Lebanon.
Exactly.
And
then what are we going to do?
And as I say, it's going to be interesting if Bush is still how he's going to say, "Oh, this is just so awful." Well, you wanted everybody to have democracy. Are you happy with it now? You know. And I'll tell you one thing: we got to keep doing though on some of this stuff with Bush and company is every time they bring something up that hadn't worked, we got to keep reminding people that gang for the last 6 years. It's been all Republicans. They've been the ones in charge of all three branches of government. So if they want to say Americans say no, we're going to talk now about what the Republicans have done. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I don't see the Democrat, Luke, I don't see the Democrats handling that very well. I don't see them going out there and saying, if you got a problem with the interest rate, blame the Republicans. You got a problem with the fact that the minimum wage hasn't been raised in forever, blame a Republican.
Well, it's like
they're not doing that.
No, and they need to be doing things like saying, every time you talk about the Congress, you talk about the Republican Congress. You talk about the Republican judiciary. You got to put that word out there in front of it, because we used to all the time in the 90s and the 80s, every time we turn around, you'd hear them say, that Democratic Congress. It wasn't Congress, it was a Democratic Congress. So, like I say, we need to turn that around on them and to turn that through. And one thing, have you noticed, Bruce, have you seen this series of stories, I guess, that CNN's running this week about terrorism? I call it Be Afraid, Be Very, Very Afraid.
Oh yeah! Oh, they're dutifully catapulting the propaganda on cue, aren't they?
I mean, it's one of these things where it's like I've seen a couple of different people talking, some of the Democrats, and it's like most of these people aren't reminding people that by the way, we've been the ones voting for increasing port security, and other things. And basically, another Republican say, no, we want to increase just give all the money to the airlines, which I don't deny they need some money. But like I say, it's got to start balancing out. You know what I mean? The ports and all the shipping systems, that's where we've got to start putting the money into, because they've poured the money into the airlines. And if the airlines ain't fixed themselves by now, they ain't never going to do it. Well, think of it. Right after 9/11, what'd they give them a line of credit for, like $16
billion? Yeah.
Because they said, we're going to go out of business. And they said, okay.
We're going to have to take a profit cut.
Yeah, the workers do. Of course, the executives, no.
No.
Yeah, it's like say,
no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Luke.
About their pensions, it's like you just want to go up there and say the first thing is, all right, then as the president of the company, of course, he's totally thrown away his golden parachute, right?
Hey, Luke, good to have you on the line. John here. You're talking about all this the line of credit and all this kind of thing. I'm completely blown away by the fact that we're worried about soda bottles and Mentos and all this other stuff, but yet none of the cargo is being actually screened.
That's the thing. Here they were. You saw this thing today where they had this lady have the anxiety attack, I guess I'll call it, on this plane where they had to divert it back to Boston. And they show them taking them off the plane and show them taking all their baggage and having it laid down on the ground out there on the tarmac. And I'm going, well, fine. Why wasn't it checked before you put it in the plane?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but get the dogs in. Let the dogs walk up and down the conveyor belt. I know that in everything, but why isn't that being done before it's getting on the plane?
Because that would cost money.
Yeah.
And that would actually have to show some accountability, and you wouldn't be able to pull someone out of a plane like this and make an example of them?
Well, see,
I was going to say, not only that, but when you do that, again, any incident that occurs, whether it's pulling someone off a plane, whether it's turning a plane around, whether it's diverting a plane from one destination to another, every incident reinforces that be very scared meme that they're pushing, Luke, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's
like, say that, we turn around, well, we found a suspicious package. It's like, you found a package sitting by a wall. Somebody's lost a bag. Congratulations. You know what I mean?
I find it suspicious.
Has to be checked, but don't act like all of a sudden you found the Rosetta Stone,
What I would like to know too, Luke, and maybe I'm just kind of crazy, which is probably very true, but what I'd like to know is what exactly constitutes a, quote, suspicious, unquote, package? Is it round? Is it round? Is it, is there like a big neon light going, this is suspicious? Eat at Joe's? What determines what a suspicious package is?
I have no idea.
I don't think I don't, Exactly. Nobody knows. But by saying the word suspicious, what are we left with?
Yeah,
we're left with the idea
claim package. I mean,
exactly. And it's all in the language. It's all in the meme.
So it's like, say, somebody put down five bags and picked up four, and they dropped their bag from the 7-Eleven. Oh my gosh, you know how it is.
I'll bet you when I'm flying and people look on my the bag that I always check and it has a great big huge impeach Bush sticker on it. That's how I can identify it at the airline. You know, coming off the belt.
Well, you know how that is.
You know,
that'll put you.
I've had people watch me pick up that bag and go over and tell airport security.
I was going to say, you will be profiled. You are a malcontent.
Yes, I am. Very proudly so, I might add.
Wear your badge. Hi, malcontent number three.
Yes, malcontent number three in a great big neon sign on my back. I am a living suspicious package, I suppose.
Hello, I'm from the village. Yes, indeed.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
jeez. As long as you're not Thanks. Number two,
Luke,
number two don't last long.
Luke, by the way, yeah, really, number two. Number two, pipe down over there. Luke, by the way, just thank you for all the emails you sent.
Oh, no problem. That's, I saw that
really,
thing from Molly.
I really appreciate it.
She's got it right on the nose.
Yeah, Molly's pretty good.
She's pretty good. She's been dealing with the shrubbo for many, many years now.
Like I say, the two best people that no one paid attention to before the election to read, if you really wanted to know about Trump, was you had to either read, if you didn't read Molly Ivins, you had to read Jim Hightower. The two of them knew him upside and downside. You know what I mean? They weren't surprised a bit by most of this. Maybe in the levels of stupidity, but you know.
Yeah, it's right out of the Rovian playbook. There's no doubt.
You know how it goes.
All right.
I see it's about a quarter till. Let me let you get on and talk to some other people, guys. And y'all have a good evening.
All right. Well, thank you, Luke. I appreciate your call, my friend, and look forward to hearing from you again. Give me a call in the afternoon show if you get a chance, man.
Well, unfortunately, but I'm still at work. I wish I could. It's just one of those things.
I
usually get in here to the house about 30 minutes before Bob gets on the air.
So one way
this time works out.
Well, it's good to hear from you, man.
It is good to hear from you.
See ya.
All right, man.
Bye.
Okay, talk to you soon. This is Head On with Bob Kincaid, sans Bob Kincaid, Ad, Bruce, and John. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back, hopefully, with some recovered audio. We'll be right back.
In the night was the dark, in the dark was the dream. Dream was the child and myself there unseen. And the book was the word, and the word there was truth. And the truth there was age, and the age there was you. And I said,
the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, The quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Hey, John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What'll you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/passiton. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plugin.
And St. Attila raised the hand grenade up on high, saying, O Lord, bless this thy hand grenade, that with it thou mayst blow thine enemies to tiny bits.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. Bob's on the road, heading to Virginia to meet up with our good friend Mark Levine to do a bit of an event out there, and Bob should be back on air tomorrow. Bruce is having a bit of a stretch at the moment, so we finally, after my bit of a brain fart there, we have the proper audio queued up. We're going to run this Beck thing, and like I said before, Beck says... Beck is warning, has a warning for Muslims who have sat on their frickin' hands and have not lined up to shoot the bad Muslims in the head. Sit back and prepare to be angry. Go ahead and run it, Atnes.
And again, I told you before we ever went into Iraq, we're not going in there for weapons of mass destruction. That's important and that's great and everything else. We are going in there because Iran is the root of all the evil over there. Iran is the root of all of the problems over there. And that's why we were going in. Well, Iran knows that. And now that we are really deep in the battle, and everybody else might think, I mean, all of these just imbeciles who are, what are we doing over in Iraq? Read! For the love of Pete, read. Open your eyes. The world is on the brink of World War III. That's what we're doing over in Iraq. Now, I'm not saying that we're in the best position in Iraq. I'm not saying I agree with necessarily the way we fought it in Iraq. But that's what we're doing in Iraq. And we got to stop. I'm telling you, soon the time will come where they will drop 10 planes into the drink. And if what I said is true, and I hope it's not, what I said is true, that Iran may not be stalling for time for the nuke. Iran may be ready to play their end game. If that indeed is true, when you see somebody drop 10 planes into the Atlantic, Iran is going to make its move. At the time Iran makes its move, they are going to move right through Iraq, and they are going to move all the way to Israel. And the whole Middle East is going to be on fire. And when that happens, the terrorists are going to bomb the oil fields. When that happens, when you see 10 planes go into the Atlantic Ocean, and if Iran is ready, that's when they're going to make their move in the Middle East. And that's the same time within 2 days, that's when Venezuela will shut the oil down over here. And I'm telling you, it's coming. And at that point, you know what happens? All you Muslims who have sat on your frickin' hands the whole time and have not been marching in the streets and have not been saying, hey, you know what, there are good Muslims and bad Muslims, we need to be the first ones in the recruitment office lining up to shoot the bad Muslims in the head, I'm telling you, with God as my witness, America is not, no, I'm not going to make this an American thing. Human beings are not strong enough, unfortunately, to restrain themselves from putting up razor wire and putting you on one side of it. When people become hungry, when people see that their way of life is on the edge of being over, they will put razor wire up. And just based on the way you look, or just based on your religion, they will round you up. Is that wrong? Oh my gosh, it is Nazi World War II wrong. But society has proved it time and time again. It will happen. The time to solve these things is when there's somewhat reasonable people engaged. But once you cut our oil supply off, once you set the Middle East on fire, and once you drop 10 planes into the Atlantic Ocean, the razor wire is coming. And our whole world looks different.
Okay. He's talking about people sitting on their frickin' hands. This guy's been sitting with his frickin' head up his own arse. Who's putting up the barbed wire? Excuse me. Who's doing racial and religious profiling? The United States! This guy's a complete jackass! I cannot stand hearing these people actually just completely lie through their teeth with a smile on their face. And how back-asswards is this guy? He's talking about how racial profiling is bad while he wants to do racial and religious profiling. Ack! They drive me nuts!
Opposite world alert, opposite world alert, opposite world alert.
We said we were going to bring some of our Fourth Estate stuff in, and I'm sorry, this totally falls into opposite world. You know? It's doing my head in, Bruce. It really is. This gets me so angry. And then when you actually get moderate people getting into the debate, they end up being accused of being anti-Semitic, you know, part of the other side. I'm tired of hearing things like, Al-Qaeda's candidate for an office. It's absolute garbage. And I'll tell you what, man. We've got a couple people on hold, and we're probably coming up on the end of this hour here. So we'll ask the folks to just hang online till we get back. But, I mean, seriously, and this goes right back to the post from Patriot Boy. The whole idea of, you know, Fox News people hanging outside a candidate's office saying Islam sucks, and they're talking about someone else doing racial and religious profiling? This is just absolute nonsense.
Yes, it is, John.
But anyway, John, I tell you what.
On our break, John, I hereby order you to take 10 deep breaths. Peach in, green out.
See what happens when you take a break, Bruce? I don't have anyone grounding me. But hey. Anyway, Bruce, I tell you what. We should take this break, do the news, and then we'll come back and we'll go straight to the phone because we've got Cossack and Gene all hanging on the line. So hang tight, boys. We're going to do the news here real quick. You got John Fox and Bruce Birch talking opposite world and stupid people and right-wing nutbags. here on the Head On Radio Network. We'll see you after the news.
This is the Quality News Network. Lebanese troops will begin deploying to southern Lebanon tomorrow as Israeli troops continue to withdraw. The cabinet approved the plan today, the third day of the UN-brokered ceasefire, but the issue of disarming Hezbollah, a key UN demand, was not addressed. In London, a judge has ruled that the 23 suspects arrested in last week's alleged plot to bomb airliners over the Atlantic can be held without charge. The suspects will be held until next week so they can be investigated further. The other suspect, who was arrested yesterday, was not part of the hearing. In Washington, Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff announced new anti-terrorism measures that will likely be implemented next year. Airlines will be required to provide passenger lists of any U.S.-bound flights to U.S. officials, a move airliners have resisted because of concern over flight delays. In Boston, officials say there's no indication of a terrorism link in a diverted flight. The flight from London to Washington, D.C. was diverted today after a passenger created a disturbance after reportedly becoming claustrophobic. And in Seattle, officials say no explosives were found in a container that arrived in a port terminal today. The port was evacuated after a bomb-sniffing dog detected a possible explosive. In New York, more than 1,600 tapes of emergency phone calls made on September 11th have been released to the public. They reveal the chaos, confusion, and horror of that day as the five-year anniversary approaches. In Baghdad today, at least 19 people were killed in bombings. Yesterday, the Iraqi Health Ministry announced that July was the deadliest month on record, with an average of 110 Iraqis dying each day in violence. At least 3,500 Iraqis died last month. 1,500 of those were in Baghdad. In southeastern Afghanistan, insurgents killed a policeman and wounded at least seven others. That occurred during a coalition raid on suspected al-Qaeda compounds. In Japan, officials are demanding Russia release a Japanese fishing boat and crew. Earlier today, a Russian patrol boat opened fire on the boat, killing a fisherman. The boat was in disputed waters near Hokkaido, Japan's northernmost island. In Brazil, the former ruler of Paraguay, Alfredo Stroessner, died in exile at age 93. He ran the country from 1954 until 1989. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Federal Reserve says factory, mine, and utilities output rose by 0.4% last month. That's half of the increase reported in June. And the Labor Department reports that the Consumer Price Index also rose by 0.4%, double the amount from June. Also, core inflation rose by 0.2%. The Commerce Department said that new home construction fell last month. That's the fifth time in 6 months. British Petroleum shareholders have sued the oil company over its poor maintenance practices in Alaska's Prudhoe Bay. Last week, part of the oil field was closed to repair corroded pipelines. Shares of Sony and Matsushita, which both make lithium-ion batteries, have jumped. That comes after Dell announced the recall of about 4 million laptops due to a faulty battery manufactured by Sony. Analysts say that could cost the company up to $430 million and that it may hurt both Sony's short-term earnings and brand image. Google plans to offer its hometown of Mountain View free high-speed internet access that will make Mountain View the largest city in the U.S. to have a Wi-Fi or wireless network. Lightsweet crude settled today at $71.89. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 97 points at 11,327. The Nasdaq was up 35 points at 2150. The S&P 500 was up 10 points at 1295. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
That's right. Second hour is upon us. Head on with Bob Kincaid, minus the veritable Bob Kincaid. He's not with us tonight. Bob is traveling. He should be in northern, somewhere in between one place and another at this point. And joining me is my good friend and former cohort partner in crime, compadre, John Fox from Fourth Estate Radio. John.
Yes, I am here, and it's not former. We're just on hiatus for a little while, and we are going to be back bigger and badder and louder and more in-depth than ever. And
more deeply offensive.
Oh, yeah, all depending on whose side of the aisle you're on. I might explain a little bit about why there hasn't been a show in a couple of weeks, because, well, life's been a bit insane. But we have a bunch of callers, don't we, Bruce?
We do indeed, and I believe taking these from the top of the stack, our good friend Cossack from Florida is joining us. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm here, Bruce. How about you?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Trying to keep hold down the fort for our good friend Bob, you know, and doing a measly job of it, but we're doing okay.
So, is he going to go up there and give George Allen a bit of a hot foot?
Could be.
Knowing Bob, I think probably he's going to go up there and raise enough of a stink that he'll get noticed one way or the other. And Agnes is smiling in the chat, so we know that that must be true.
Well, you heard about George Allen's brilliant verbal
oh yes
explosion there.
The macaca. He did it twice. He didn't do it. You know, it wasn't a mistake. The guy did it twice.
Yes. Intentionally. And considering that his mother is a North African, he knows what that means.
Mm.
He knows. It is.
So he might play dumb, but he's not.
Oh, he's dumb. He's dumb. Well, you remember who his father was, right?
George Allen's father?
Yeah. The George
Enlighten
Allen.
Me.
The George Allen of Redskin fame. That George Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy,
that's right, that's
Richard
right.
Nixon. That George Allen. Mm.
Now, didn't this guy try and cover himself by saying he has silly names for everyone, including his pets?
Right. And he said,
so
well, the guy had a mohawk. He didn't. Have you seen the guy's picture in the Washington Post?
No, I haven't, actually.
He does not have a mohawk. Nothing even approaching one. So that is that's a crock of...
Yeah. Yeah, I keep having to remember we're not on late night at the moment. I keep censoring myself. I don't know if you could tell, but, I mean, that's... this guy reminds me of it's almost along the same line, slightly different. Our wonderful prime minister John Howard down here. I might even be confusing him with Bush. And how bad is that? But one of them was in some sort of, and I believe that this was Howard, was in some sort of meeting with some local Muslims and was speaking with this woman and asking her, so how long have you been here? And she's all done up in traditional clothes and the whole thing. And she turns and says, I was born here.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the problem. This macaca, this Indian guy, he's actually not Indian. He was born in Virginia. He grew up in Northern Virginia.
So doesn't that make him an American last time
yes.
I checked?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. I wanted to make sure that, you know, the world, well, I mean, the world has flipped on its head.
Well, yeah.
While we were looking. But, you know, last time I checked, when you were born within the United States, you then had your rights.
Right. You were an American citizen, a born American.
These people are sad. These people are just so sad, Cossack. You know,
they're racists.
Yes.
Well, and it's all just, it's all fear-mongering because of their own fear.
And, of course, this is the same George Allen who had a Confederate battle flag in his office when he was governor of Virginia. This is the same George Allen who had a noose on his wall as governor of Virginia.
What?
Now, what was the idea? Why did he have a noose on his... Now, I'm from Virginia originally, but he was after I left. The governor when I left was Doug Wilder, who was also, coincidentally, the first black governor of Virginia.
Ever.
ever, yes. And, you know, and he was actually a damn good governor.
Yeah.
Doug Wilder did an excellent job, Democratic governor there. But why did he have a noose on his wall, Cossack? Can you enlighten us as to the reasoning behind that?
To bring back the memories of the good old days. The necktie party.
He wanted to bring back
days.
The
necktie.
Yeah. He had pictures of Confederate soldiers on his wall next to the noose.
That's sick. That's just absolutely just sick. You know, I mean, you know, they talk about the dangers of hatred from people.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is the most dangerous kind of stuff.
Well,
you know, that...
And these lunatics, these Christian fundamentalist Bible-thumping nitwits are... they're the...
Tell us how you really feel.
They hate. It's just that they're banging on a different book. You know?
Mm. Well, and again, you know, I clearly state that I am an agnostic person, and I've been called a wimp for that, but I actually think it's because I think that there may be something out there, but the organized religions are, like, way off.
Yeah.
But I kind of have a little bit of an idea of the teaching, and I keep wanting to go back to these things of, you know, caring for the poor, thou shalt not kill, you know, all these really, really simple things that the carpenter Christ, as, you know, he's known, spoke about.
Yeah.
And
John,
they get so confused.
Yeah, let me assure you of something. I've been there. I've been dead. I was clinically dead for 11 minutes. I've been there.
Whoa.
I've been back. Some people say I haven't come back, but... But
we don't think that.
But no, really, there is something there. The thing is, people don't really understand, and all these wonderful people on all various sides of the aisle, all various religions, they don't understand. They're looking at one tiny piece of the mosaic and saying they see the picture. They don't. What they're looking at is a little tiny corner of the picture. Whether you're Christian or Muslim or Hindu or whatever, you see a small, tiny piece of the puzzle. You do not see the entire picture. And there is something there. We're, as trite as it may sound, as silly as it may sound, you're supposed to take care of each other because we are all connected. We are all one. Believe me, we all go back to the same place. and we all have to deal with what we have done.
And I agree with you. And this is where, you listen to Fourth Estate Radio. You know, I've gone on little tangents about quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
And how quantum physics, I think, is getting closer to explain how science and religion can explain one another.
Exactly.
And that whole idea of connection and intention. Intention is one of the keys.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and it is the intention that you project on the world that you create that has a severe effect on how that world you create turns out. And we have a whole bunch of people projecting hate, violence, profiling, and mistrust.
Right.
So they're getting exactly what they're asking for.
Exactly.
Kosak, I really appreciate the call. We're coming up on our mid-half-hour break, quarter-hour break, whatever. But really, really appreciate you calling in. And I'd like to talk to you in the future more about this experience of yours. Because...
Sure.
I think that this is something that could shed some light for people because you are a rarity. And I think I'm fascinated by it, and I kind of wish that we didn't have people lined up on the phones. I'd love to keep you on for a bit. But we'll do this again sometime soon, and I hope you'll be game for that.
Absolutely.
Right on, man. Thank you so much for ringing in. We'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Take care.
All right. We're going to take this break real quick, come back, and we got Gene and Jim hanging on the line, and we'll get to those guys when we get back. You're listening to Head On Radio, sans Bob Kincaid with Brother John and Brother Bruce, taking
Oi.
Care of the altar. Oi! We'll be back right after this on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place on the web you can go where everything is so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there working hard for you every day. It's a place where you can go to raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. DUBYAD40.com. So stop on by. The 101st Fighting Keyboardists of Kansas are ready to hear your opinion. There are topics of news, current events, and great humor. So let Clyde, Wally, and Dookie know that you're a working person too. WD40.com. Stop on by.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Kosovo, the U.S. government has provided over $292 million.
A $70 million U.S. government assistance package for Central America in response to Hurricane Mitch.
Sometimes it seems like we spend an awful lot of our tax money helping people in other countries. But in reality, it's less than 1% of our government's annual budget. Our aid programs save lives by helping couples plan their families, immunizing children against deadly diseases, and ensuring that people have safe drinking water. It's important that these programs continue. Helping create a healthy and secure future for people in developing countries helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121. This message brought to you by Population Action International.
You're back on Head On with Bob Kincaid, and Bob is not in the house tonight. However, I am, Bruce Birch. You can catch my normal show. Well, it's not really that normal. It's actually my abnormal show, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, 2 to 4 Pacific during the week, right before Bob's show. If you've never heard me before, that's where you can catch me. My good friend John Fox, who is also in studio there down in Sydney, Australia, is with us tonight. We're doing a virtual insanity fest tonight. John, take it away, my friend.
Just all of a sudden I went straight to young Frankenstein with, you know, his name was Abby something. Abby who?
Abby Normal.
Abby Normal? Anyway, let's go straight back to the... Let's go straight. I really tried not to laugh at that line, Bruce. I really, really tried, but I couldn't help myself. But let's go straight back to the phones. We have our news ninja, hi-ya, John!
Ooh, on the line. Hey. Oh, my God.
How's it going?
Gene, doing the
how
crane.
The hell are you?
Oh, I was doing okay until Glenn Beck. Thanks for the
guy is an absolute.
I know, listen to the next time.
That's scary stuff, man. You really, you know, in another time in history, you would think that was somebody's joke or bad joke, or, you know, it would be something fake. But that's real, and that's real scary. But what brings you in, aside from us making you ill with audio, Gene?
Well, pretty much that. I mean, basically, I feel like when I heard that, I was like, okay, he's setting us up for being attacked by that side. And that really irritates the heck out of me when I hear crap like that. I was like livid, but I'm going to change tack on you for just a little bit, and it'll be a little short, but I was listening to Guy Gaines today, and he said that Senator Pryor out of Arkansas, Democratic Senator, on the Elections Committee is going to support Lieberman over Lamont.
Gene, okay, the Lieberman thing.
Yeah.
This
loser man.
I even have to say that Jerry Springer has been right on this, right? I caught some of him over the weekend. I tend to catch like a little bit of an hour of him. It's not my favorite program in the world.
Yeah.
But, he was pretty clear. He was pretty clear that, you know, he said, look, if you want to run as an independent, fine. Do it before the primary. But if you run as a Democrat and the people vote and decide you're not the candidate this time, live with the decision.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of scary aspects, too. Look at the timing of Lieberman's loss, the so-called threat in the UK, and then having all the right-wing pundits come out and say Lieberman being denied his nomination is a vote for the terrorists. And this whole thing of... labeling Lamont as Al-Qaeda's candidate. Ugh!
Yeah, well, I understand that. I mean, that's to be expected. But having a Democrat still say, and a fairly powerful one, still say he's going to support Lieberman when Lamont won, that really makes me, I mean, that even makes him better than Beck.
Well, it should. It really, really should. And this, you know, one of the things Bruce and I have been talking for almost a year about is the fact that we have people in the Democratic Party that are not Democrats any longer. They are shillers for the people in power. Lieberman is the ultimate. You know, he is the absolute ultimate. And you know, even Jerry was saying, you know, he says, and I hate saying this because he said up until recently, Joe Lieberman was a good representative for his state. He backed the unions very, very strongly, has done a lot of stuff. But what is it that makes what we used to think were some clear-minded people, but I lost all trust of Lieberman after the 2000 election. I really think, you know, he had something to do with Gore being ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt about it. And you if you notice, you never hear Al Gore mention Lieberman's name.
Sorry, that's me.
Yeah,
that's me kissing George Bush in the background. Go ahead.
But anyway, it just really made me kind of PO'd. I am going to call his office and try to voice my opinion on that.
Good on you. The details are all at Media Matters.
Oh, great. And so I'll look that up, and it just really... Sorry.
That is the right reaction to have, Gene, that you're spot on, man. Do not hold back. That is the reaction you're supposed to have. You're not supposed to accept this garbage.
Absolutely not. And, Gene, if you get a chance, put that contact information up on the Head On Headlines news blog there so that other people can have that opportunity as well.
Oh, I will. Media Matters. Okay. Thank you.
Fantastic.
No worries, man. Thanks. Thanks,
Gene.
Clear.
All right, thanks, Gene. That's our headline, Head On Headlines news blogger, Gene from Oregon. Hiya! So he rocks. He absolutely rocks. Let's see if we can sneak in another quick phone call. Jim from West Oklahoma is calling us. Jim, how are you doing today, man?
Never mind, gentlemen.
How you doing, matey? Okay. That was different.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting. And I won't spend any more time on that. we have a brand new caller on the line. We have Miss Freckles from...
I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's do this. Hold up. Before we do that, let's go ahead and, since we're so close to the bottom of the hour break, let's go ahead and do that real quick and then come back and we can spend some time with our friend, our new friend, Miss Freckles.
Sounds like a great idea, man. So, as usual, you can get in on the show at 1-877-443-2366 and get in on the conversation. Like, we've had plenty of great callers so far. And Bruce and I are going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be back with you on Head On with Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Look around. Show me holy places not yet found. Let's disappear and we'll hide underground. And we'll get high and we'll feel safe and sound. It comes around. Right, yeah, 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 yeah. Got my soul singing, my soul singing. Got my soul singing, got my soul singing. Got my soul singing, my soul singing.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The United Brotherhood of Carpenters is celebrating 125 years of building trade unionism this month. Gene Tenner of the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters says the union got started in Chicago, and there are still compelling reasons today to belong to the union.
They're more likely to have a safe workplace. They're more likely to get fair pay for what they're doing. they'll become the best trained tradesmen you can find anywhere, and they can retire with dignity.
Tenner says one of the biggest modern challenges for the Carpenters Union is to figure out how to protect its members' interests while also partnering with employers.
Working with our partners in business as a unified group, working labor and management, working side by side to the benefit of each is a relatively new concept, but contractors and developers don't have jobs without carpenters, and carpenters don't have jobs without developers and contractors. So,
in the wake of an escalated terrorist alert level, New York City's Metropolitan Transportation Administration is still considering reducing manned security checkpoints. Jesse Russell has details.
Extra security measures were put in place following the terrorist attacks on New York City on September 11, 2001. The MTA is considering plans to roll back some of those measures that call for manned security checkpoints and replacing them with cameras and alarm systems. The move has come under fire from the Bridge and Tunnel Officers Benevolent Association. The union represents many of the workers who currently operate the security checkpoints, and they say reducing a human presence will put commuters and the city in danger. Two of the checkpoints targeted for a reduction in manpower include the Midtown Tunnel and the Verrazano Bridge. Both are considered viable terrorist targets.
The United Steelworkers have a political ally in former U.S. Senator John Edwards. Edwards is calling on Continental Tire to collectively bargain with the steelworkers rather than try to impose $32 million in concessions and close down production at the Charlotte, North Carolina plant. Edwards noted in a letter to Continental CEO that the cuts imposed by the company will gut health insurance coverage for hundreds of retirees and their families. Senator Edwards called on Continental to respect its workers and bargain collectively through their union, the United Steelworkers. As Jesse Russell notes in today's economic report, young workers had a deadly 2005.
2005 was a dangerous year to be young and on the job. The Bureau of Labor Statistics has released their annual census of fatal occupational injuries. While the number of fatal work injuries in 2005 was down 1% from 2004, the number of workers under the age of 20 fatally injured on the job rose sharply. According to the census, the rate was up 18% over 2004. Amounting to 166 cases of fatalities.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
I like to think I've earned my reputation for rushing in where angels fear to tread. I'll take you home to meet the congregation. We'll all get together in my tent. I make a dirty little religion out of loving. I'll make a dirty little convert out of you. I make a dirty little
religion. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Head On Radio. Sans Bob Kincaid today is on the road, heading to meet Brother Mock to do a bit of preaching in D.C., I believe, and Bruce Birch is helping me man the altar this evening. Bruce Birch, still with me, buddy?
Oi! I am indeed.
Right on, man.
Well, isn't that what Aussies do?
Yeah. You go to any sports thing. Oh, yeah. It's Aussie. Oi. And during the Olympics, it got to be the point where it was like a vomit reflex. But all good. Anyway, I want to go straight back to the phones, man, because we have a very, very special new caller ringing in. Freckles, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good day. Hey, nice to have you ring in.
Hi. I wanted to let you know that I write a column for Powers and Morrison, and that I write a political teen tidbits column. Of how teens react to the news or to politics or to anything like that, and people can send me comments, and then the next day I put the comments up from the day that they sent it.
Excellent. Let me ask you a question, Freckles, if you don't mind.
Sure.
This is Bruce. This is Bruce, by the way. That's
Hi,
John. John's the troublemaker.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And
do you have any complaints?
Bruce, I met you in the chat room.
Yeah, I'm in the chat room under the anonymous name of Bruce Birch. Anyway, what I wanted to ask you. What I wanted to ask you was, I mean, you know, you're 14, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what on earth, why would you be interested in politics at 14? I mean, I'm sure this has been asked of you 18,000 times, but I mean, oh. I just gotta hear it from you.
Okay, I've been a Democrat, like, my whole life and stuff, and my mom used to take me with her to vote and things. And I've always been interested in that. And then 2 years ago, a friend got me to listen to Air America, and I started really liking it. And I listened all the time, and a lot of my friends listened, and we were real involved in trying to get Democrats elected in 2004. And I don't know, and then I started calling this is the second radio show that I've called. I've called Mike Malloy's show a bunch of times. But
oh, cool.
I started calling Mike Malloy's show when my brother is my legal guardian now. And
uh-huh.
He is National Guard, and he was scheduled to go to Iraq, and I didn't have anywhere to live, and I was going to have to go to foster care, and there was, like, this whole big mess.
Oh, my gosh.
And I called...
I remember you calling in.
You do? Okay. And I called Mike Malloy's program, and a bunch of people helped me with writing letters to my congressmen and my senators, and I got all my teachers to write letters, too, and did this whole thing, and now he's reassigned to a base to the same base in Texas that he was at. And he's got a mostly the same job, but it's a different command at the same base.
So you're in Texas then?
Yes.
Okay. Another question I wanted to ask you is, okay, so now, you know, yes, you're involved in politics and you dig it, right?
Yeah.
But so what? How did you get hooked up with Powers and Morrison and get you? Did you already have a blog before you met them, or
no,
you know?
I did not have a blog. Some of the people who wrote to me after I was on Malloy and who helped me write the letter to my congressman and who helped with other ideas of stuff. One of them is Sarge, the old Sarge.
Okay.
And
oh yeah.
And he has a column on there. So I ended up becoming friends with three of the people who helped me at that time, I became good friends with, and including Sarge.
That's fantastic.
Sarge got me to go to a chat room that Nathan Morrison is in, and he's the Morrison of Powers and Morrison.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know, they just convinced me it would be a good idea, and I kept saying, but I don't have anything to say, and they're like, yes, you do. But I want to be Helen Thomas when I grow up, and they said that having a political
right
blog
on.
Was a good start at 14.
I think
with a better nose. No, she's wonderful. She's wonderful.
Yeah.
John, I think, has a question there.
Okay.
Well, I was having a look at your blog here, and
yeah.
And the current post that you have up is about dress codes in school.
Right.
Now, I'm starting to approach 40 quicker than I want to admit.
Uh-huh.
But this was something that came up when I was in high school. And I always found that, you know, I want you to elaborate on what's happening with dress codes there. But we didn't have dress codes per se, but we constantly had people trying to influence you on what you were allowed to wear. And I remember being pulled up for a particular T-shirt, which was an old Metallica T-shirt for an album, for an EP called Metal Up Your Ass. But
you couldn't wear this today.
Right.
They'd
but
say
here
it's
was
obscenity.
The
obscenity.
Well, here was the argument that I used to have. It was only teachers that made noise and made disruptions about it. None of the students ever did. And so I kept retorting to them. I'm saying, I see the only person that is making noise and disrupting the learning process here is you, the teacher. Everyone else seems to be able to cope with it fine because it's, well, popular culture.
Mm.
And in public schools, I think you either have to go, like in Australia, fully into the uniform thing where everybody's got the same bloody thing.
San Antonio has that. Everybody wears tan pants and everybody wears white shirts.
Ooh, when did that start? Because I used to live in San Antonio.
I don't know. And then somebody told me that Chicago is the same, but it's blue pants and white shirts.
Just as long as it doesn't turn into black shirts, we might be all right. But what is it that they're telling you that you can't wear in school?
Okay, we girls, we can't wear spaghetti straps that has to be like 4 fingers wide, I think, the strap of your shirt. We can't have our bellies showing, so if you have low-cut jeans, you have to have a long shirt. You can't have stuff with offensive writing. Let's see, flip-flops are okay. They went back and forth on flip-flops like 3 times, but flip-flops are okay. I'm trying to think what else you can't have. You can't have gang colors. Boys can't have the pants that start, you know, real down low. They have to start at their waist. They say no oversized shirts, but I haven't seen that a problem. Now, the big thing in the middle school that I used to go to, and this is, like, so stupid, is that you can't wear athletic shorts, but outside of gym class. But, like, that's all that a lot of people wear. So
it's insane. That's just insane.
Yeah.
So I wonder what happens in a situation where, and this might apply to you, someone who may not be in a great financial situation. What if you end up not having all that much in your wardrobe that does pass the muster? Is the school gonna
there's a thing in our town called Operation School Bell, where this happened after my mom got arrested, and we had, like, absolutely no money, and all the money, like, really had no money. And Operation School Bell, the counselor from your school can take you to, it's like a store, but it's not a store, but where you can pick out school clothes and you can get school supplies and stuff.
Right.
If you can't afford it.
I wish that they spent more time on solid education than all this kind of. I personally think a lot of it's nonsense because it's distracting.
The dress code stuff.
Yeah, I really do. I really do. You know, I mean.
You know what the funny part of the dress code thing is? A lot of my friends dyed their hair this summer, and everybody. Well, they were all planning to dye it back because you have to have human-colored hair to go to school. And you can't go to school with green and purple and orange.
Human-colored hair.
It has to
Which
be
crayon
a,
is that?
It has to be a color found on humans. So you can't have purple.
Hey, I could take them to Greenwich Village and find all kinds of colors.
One of my friends had purple, and it faded, and now it's really cute copper color. And another friend did this bright pink. She started with cotton candy pink, and then she did something else, and now she just looks like a redhead. So she's fine, too.
Gosh.
You know, and why this kind of stuff frustrates me so much is the fact that normally things like, you know, dyeing your hair purple, you know, an earring, this or that, or possibly the clothes you wear, is an expression of oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's just outwardly expressing who you are. And I have a real problem that when people of your age who are supposed to be finding out who they are, developing themselves, and exploring the person that they would like to become to be, to put these kind of restrictions down for, I think, what are dubious reasons, ends up actually going against the whole concept of getting an education.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't, like, some of it, there are some girls who really dress trashy.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, you can see, you know, every, when they, I don't know, whatever. It's like you can see everything.
Nothing's left for the imagination.
I think it's good for them to have another shirt on. I don't think it's that bad.
Okay. Well, I mean, as far as, you know, having your bits hanging out, yes. I mean, there's a certain amount of decorum that has to go on. But when it comes down to things like, you know, hair color and these kind of silly, I'm sorry, I put them as silly, and I actually think that it ends up adding to the degradation of the future generations when it's, yeah, I don't think that you should have a 14-year-old girl hanging out looking like, you know, some so-called hoe in a rap
right.
video. That, I think, is
right.
not good.
I mean, my brother won't
right?
let me dress like that anyway, but...
Well, it's not,
I mean,
it sounds like
what I have to, what he tells me I'm allowed to wear and what the school tells me I'm allowed to wear aren't all that different.
But see, it also sounds like you're a very, very reasonable young lady. That's, you know, and it sounds like you don't fall for spoon-fed popular culture in this modern era the way many of your peers may. And that, I think, might be a whole other issue of what they're trying to aspire to. And maybe that's what needs to be discussed, developing the person, and maybe the clothes will change. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
But I really appreciate you calling in. It's so great to hear
yeah,
can I tell the people the name
voice.
Of my blog?
Please do.
Okay, www.teentidbits.com. Powers and Morrison, all spelled out, .com.
Excellent.
Teen Tidbits.
Powers and Morrison.com.
I'll put a link up on my blog, and I'm sure that our good friend John Fox. Oh, wait a minute, that's John right there. John will probably put up a link too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Agnes at Charity put one up.
Excellent.
But I don't know where that is, so we'll find it later.
Okay.
Okay.
No worries, Darda. I'm so glad that you found us. I really appreciate it. I hope we hear from you again.
Yeah. Okay,
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Freckles. Wow, what an amazing caller. John, I think that's pretty cool.
So do I, because, again, you know, if you remember Bowling for Columbine, you know, there was that whole kind of aspect of the media showing that our kids are something to be feared and whatnot. I can't, that's another one of these things that I just can't handle. I wish we were allowed to see more of our young people who are, got their heads screwed on straight, who are thoughtful. And I think that they are a majority of our young population, but as usual, we have to focus on the bad eggs and create more fear. Because as you remember, after Columbine, it was all about the wacko kids out there, how they're all just off the rocker, and you got to be careful. You know, I remember there was some mayor somewhere said, you know, they're all just ticking time bombs. This ain't good for the psyche of our children, man. And I don't think we should be scared of our kids. But anyway, I think we need to take a break, Bruce. What do you reckon?
Yes, we absolutely do, John. We'll take that break, and then we'll come back.
Yeah, so you're listening to John and Bruce filling in for Bob Kincaid, and we'll be back on the Head On Radio Network, and you can get in on the program at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON, and we'll be right back.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
I've always wondered, what's the devil look like?
Well, of course, there are all manner of lesser imps and demons, Pete, but the great Satan himself is red and scaly with a bifurcated tail, and he carries a hay fork.
Oh, no. No, sir. He's white. As white as you folks. With empty eyes and a big hollow voice, he loves to travel around with a mean old hound.
Right, you're back on the head on with Bob Kincaid, and Bob's not with us tonight, obviously, but John and I are, and I are,
yep.
We am. I don't know. Hell, we're doing something.
You say I are down here, man, and you get shivers because that stands for industrial relations or industrial reforms. You know, I've been telling you that down here, man, it is like. We think that the attacks on the American worker are bad, right? But it's happened gradually over time. Howard did it in one fell swoop. And we've got a whole bunch of people who are absolutely having their lives torn apart because their bosses have been told with the flick of a pen they can just, well, pay them less, take away their benefits, take away their insurance, all with the stroke of a pen, but yet you have to pay your mortgage on 70% of the salary that you were making previously. And with petrol prices going the way that they are, but that's a whole that's a whole another story, mate. You know, we're not going to have all that much time here, Bruce, before we have to go to the news, but I thought I'd give us this to ponder. Agnes sent this through. Again, opposite world, hello. From religionnewsblog.com, ad pitch for Israel aimed at Christians. Just sit back and listen to this. From Washington, The portraits of suffering on the television commercials follow the familiar imagery of fundraising appeals after major disasters. Video of collapsed buildings and injured being carried away on stretchers, and women wailing for the dead. But this isn't a plea for some earthquake-ravaged nation. It's an appeal on behalf of Israel, a highly industrialized nation emerging from war. And the pitch goes beyond mere sympathy. The scenes are interspersed with biblical passages that suggest a divine calling to help the cause. Israel is under attack, her civilians living their lives in bomb shelters. What about the Lebanese? The narrator, a rabbi, leader of a group that seeks to rally support for Israel among Christians, particularly conservative evangelicals, stand with Israel in its time of need. And as circumstances changed, the organization quickly adapted. By Tuesday, a day after the ceasefire in Lebanon, the ads were rotating with a modified commercial geared towards funding reconstruction. As the world chooses sides against Israel, this is a quote, "Will you stand on the sidelines?" he asks. The advertising campaign, which began airing July 26th on Fox News and a few religious television networks, is an unusual convergence of faith, politics, money, and media that illustrates the rising importance of the bond between many American evangelicals and Israel. Conservative now a crucial component of the
John, I think we're losing you, my friend. I don't know what's going on there with the connection, but it's getting a little squirrely. You still there?
Yes, I am. You don't hear me?
Oh, yeah, it's breaking up pretty bad. You may want to settle back for a minute, let it settle down. The story you were referencing, my friend, go ahead. Let's try it again, John.
Okay. Well, anyway, so what
there
the,
you are.
Okay, the basics of what's going on is that Israel is advertising to Christians to help rebuild them as though it's part of a religious fight. And I'll just go back just to since it seems like things didn't quite go through, but they say, you know, it looks like the standard images of, you know, a natural disaster. But this isn't a plea from some earthquake-ravaged nation. It's an appeal on behalf of Israel, a highly industrialized nation emerging from war. I find this absolutely sick that they're campaigning to evangelical Christians to rebuild Israel when most of the damage and destruction in the last month has been on the Lebanese side, and virtually all of their infrastructure has been blown apart. And can I remind everybody that that's a war crime? It drives me nuts, man. I cannot believe the audacity and the hubris of these people. And this is going back to that question that Gail and I have been asking about. How is it that evangelical Christians in America can support people from another faith killing almost as many of people, just almost as many Christians as Muslims? And it's justified. I really don't get this bit, Bruce. It really, really drives me nuts.
Because the chief, the resident decider said it was okay, John. It's okay. Them Lebanese Christians aren't real Christians anyway, John. They're white Christians.
And we have the same thing that goes on here, because most of the Lebanese, and I'm talking almost like I think it's something like 60 some odd percent of the Lebanese that have relocated to Australia over the years are Christian. But yet, in the media, Lebanon and Lebanese people are all Islam, all Muslim. Which is wrong. It's factually wrong. And how do we stop this constant, like we need to get on satellite. We need to get on terrestrial radio, man, because the balance of the message is not getting out. And, you know, it's getting to the point where I can't even watch the news. Because every time they report on you know, Israel, Palestine, Lebanon, I just want to throw things at the television set. Because it's just so out of balance. The whole thing's so out of balance. And we will...
Yeah.
We will get into a little bit more of this after we come back from the news. So we're coming up on the top of the hour. We got to do the news and whatnot. We've got a couple things. And Guy James actually had the gentleman about an article we're going to talk about, that the UK terror scare thing is a cock-up. And I've got the article here, and I was very happy to see that Guy James actually had the gentleman on today, and we'll get back to that when we get here. So don't forget, you can get in on the program by dialing into 1-877-4 head on. Bruce and I will be back after the news. Q&N kids coming up shortly, and we'll see you here on the other side on Head On with Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. The Israeli military has transferred more than 50% of the areas it has held since mid-July to a small UN peacekeeping force. Meanwhile, the army continues to withdraw from southern Lebanon as the Lebanese army assembles north of the Litani River. The peacekeeping force is expected to increase from 2,000 to 15,000. Those troops will eventually work with Lebanese troops to take control of the area from Israel. They'll work to ensure Hezbollah does not acquire weapons from Syria and Iran. But the key UN demand of disarming Hezbollah was not addressed. The militant group maintains it has a right to defend itself as long as Israel maintains a presence in Lebanon. In London, a judge has ruled that the 23 suspects who were arrested last week and the alleged plot to bomb airliners can be held without charge. They'll be held until next week so they can be investigated further. In Washington, Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff announced new counterterror mandates that will likely become effective next year. Airlines would be required to provide passenger lists of any U.S.-bound international flights to U.S. officials. Meanwhile, European ministers met in London yesterday to plan new ways to increase cooperation in fighting terrorism. The security measures they discussed include fingerprinting or iris scanning airplane passengers, as well as blocking some websites. In Baghdad today, at least 19 people were killed in bombings. July was reportedly the deadliest month on record, with at least 3,500 Iraqis killed. In southeastern Afghanistan, insurgents killed a policeman and wounded at least seven others during a coalition raid on suspected al-Qaeda compounds. U.S. and Afghan forces arrested eight people and seized a cache of weapons, explosives, and communication equipment. In Japan, officials are demanding Russia release a Japanese fishing boat and crew. A fisherman was killed today when a Russian patrol boat opened fire on the vessel, which was in disputed waters. Off the shore of Mexico, federal agents have arrested a Mexican drug lord. He's believed to be responsible for a network of smuggling tunnels between Mexico and the U.S. Two suspected assassins were also taken into custody. In Thailand today, a man suspected of killing JonBenet Ramsey was arrested. The 41-year-old second-grade teacher is reportedly already being held on unrelated sex charges. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Federal Reserve says factory, mine, and utilities output rose by 0.4% last month. That's half of the increase reported in June. The Labor Department reports that the Consumer Price Index also rose by 0.4%. And core inflation rose by 0.2% in July after four straight months of 0.3% increases. The Commerce Department says new home construction fell last month for the fifth time in 6 months. That's seen as more evidence that the housing market is cooling. Tens of thousands of acres of Alaskan wetlands will soon be open to new oil and natural gas drilling. The Interior Department will open up bidding this week, and winning bids will be announced next month. Meanwhile, British Petroleum shareholders have sued the oil company over its poor maintenance practices in Prudhoe Bay. Last week, part of the oil field was closed to repair corroded pipelines. Ford says it's closing dealerships in 18 cities due to falling sales. Most of the closures will reportedly take place east of the Mississippi. And Walmart is sending voter education guides to its employees in Iowa, where the first presidential caucus is held. The pamphlets retort some of the criticisms waged against the company by Democratic presidential hopefuls. Light sweet crude settled today at $71.89. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 97 points. NASDAQ up 35 points, S&P 500 up 10 points. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Not exactly. This is Head On, but Bob's on the road at the moment. You'll be hearing Bob tomorrow. For today, you have Brother Bruce and Brother John, and we're holding down the fort for the moment. And this has been a blast, Bruce. Just when we did this a couple times a few months ago, we had a great time. And again, you know, just great callers, great content, and to be able to cover prayer meeting edition, you know, is always kind of a pleasure, I must admit.
Yes, it is.
Now, I'm going to shift gears here a bit, but, I mean, all this stuff is connected, as we know. Now, Gail found this yesterday. You can go to craigmurray.co.uk, and on the 14th, he has his own take on the English terror plot, right? And just a little background, this gentleman, as Britain's outspoken ambassador to Central Asian Republic of Uzbekistan, Craig Murray helped expose vicious human rights abuses by the U.S.-funded regime of Islam Karimov. He is now a prominent critic of Western policy in the region. So the piece is entitled The UK Terror Plot, What Really Happened? And he says, I've been reading very carefully through all the Sunday newspapers to try and analyze the truth from all sources of pages claiming to detail the so-called bomb plot. Unlike a great herd of so-called security experts doing the media analysts, I have the advantage of having had the very highest security clearances myself, blah, blah, blah. So he goes on to say, so this, I believe, is the true story. None of the alleged terrorists had made a bomb. None had bought a plane ticket. Many did not even have passports, which, given the efficiency of the UK passport agency, would mean they couldn't be a plane bomber for quite some time. In the absence of bombs and airline tickets, and in many cases passports, it could be pretty difficult to convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt that individuals intended to go through with suicide bombings, whatever rash stuff they may have bragged in internet chat rooms. What is more, many of those arrested
Oh, you're breaking up again, John.
Dang. How am I doing? Is it just...
No, go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, most of these people have been under surveillance for over a year, like thousands of other British Muslims, and not just Muslims like me. Nothing from that surveillance had indicated the need for early arrests. Then an interrogation in Pakistan revealed the details of this amazing plot to blow up multiple planes, which rather extraordinarily had not turned up in a year of surveillance. Of course, the interrogators of the Pakistani dictator have their ways of making people sing like canaries, as I witnessed in Uzbekistan. You can get the most extraordinary information this way. Trouble is, it always tends to give the interrogators all they might want and more in a desperate effort to stop or avert torture. What it doesn't give us is the truth. And he continues to line up how this is all a very, very superficial case. And again, I'm sorry, I tie the timing in to the whole Lieberman thing and the attack on the Democrats. What do you think?
Nope, don't like it.
I mean, did you buy this plot when it first came out?
I will say this, John. I mean, here's what I don't. You know, the plot is probably very real. Okay, in my view, the plot is probably very real, but I think the reaction was concocted. I think that there was, I absolutely believe there was collusion between Tony and Georgie, and that, you know, George called in a favor, and said, I need you to do this so that it'll make us look good.
Yeah, and you had shortly after that, Bush and Snowjob and all these other jacks going out and trying to claim all this credit for having foiled this thing. And from everything that I've read, the United States intelligence, whatever, had virtually no involvement in this.
Right. It was policemen, folks. That's the thing that gets that we have to remember, is that is not get blinded by the rhetoric, and understand that it was policemen that actually busted this whole thing up. It wasn't the special forces in Iraq. It wasn't special forces in Afghanistan. It wasn't multinational forces. It was bobbies. without guns, bobbies without guns.
It just seemed to play out too much to the script, that just as the most traitorous Democrat in America gets given his walking papers, suddenly this is a threat to American security? I mean,
yeah, it's just crazy.
It's such a stretch. I keep having to replay these things in my mind because I keep waiting to wake up and go, right, okay, that was just all my subconscious creating all that nonsense. But unfortunately, this is the reality in which we live at the moment, and we have people who will do anything. And I really wonder, you know, did the Republicans promise him something back in 2000? I mean, I'd really love, and right as all this takes place, Lieberman has a behind closed door meeting with Bush. I mean, come on, it's just absolute nonsense. But I'm gonna pull away from that because we have a caller on the line, Dave from Eureka.
Hey, gentlemen.
How you doing? Hey.
I'm doing real well. There is a breaking up there, but not at this end, I hope. Coming through all right?
No, you sound great, Dave. You sound great.
Okay. I had several different thoughts, but I think primarily I don't trust a damn thing that I learn about through these cons. And if they're saying that a major terrorist threat was about to happen, and be afraid, and W is there to protect you, I don't buy a word of it. You know, I think if there was a major threat, they would have felt the need to conceal it from us. Everything about this administration is to mislead us. I don't want to shift too far away, but I'm also of the belief that all these Dino Democrats, like the Republicans, have their hand out to whatever special interests are willing to pay them. They accept the big bucks and they vote the way the corporate special interests want them to vote. It's profitable.
And hasn't the definition of special interest changed dramatically from, say, the late 70s and early 80s, when the term special interest was always used to, you know, was always used in reference to, say, the unions backing the Democrats or some civil rights group trying to get some legislation through. It used to be the Democrats were always accused of that people's causes were special interests.
Yeah,
but we now understand that there's a total different set, you know, special interest, which is big money, and that's where the Republicans are just absolute whores.
Yeah, words don't always work, because the big, very greedy corporatists, those that are making the billions of dollars per year, that want even more and are willing to do anything to harm the poor and the working people to benefit themselves, I guess they're a special interest in a way, but it's certainly not anybody that has the interest of the people at heart. They're there saying, what's in it for us? How do we use you? How do we get more for us at your expense? And carrying
well, there's
out
definite... Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dave.
Well, that's right. Just carrying out at all the amount of harm and grief they inflict upon the masses, the people.
Well, you know, I find it to be completely repugnant that these neocons, you know, they come in. Now, you know, if you notice, there's been this huge movement around through the states, the corporate, I guess that's what to put it, has created a situation with counties and municipalities where they will refuse to locate somewhere in the United States now unless there is a huge concession of tax breaks and even outright cash incentives to lure the companies into locating. So, for instance, just as a for instance, there really is a point to this, believe it or not. Follow along for a moment. Here in North Carolina, we had a Dell manufacturing plant located about 20 miles from where I'm sitting right now. Okay, that Dell manufacturing plant was lured in with millions of dollars of incentives. Now, this company could have gone, you know, overseas somewhere. Could have gone to Japan or Korea or wherever, but instead chose to remain in the United States. And the reason why, in my view, is because, you know, there has to be, you know, it's a corporate welfare scam. It's a you know, we know that you're hungry for jobs now. It's a return to the robber baron days where, you know, we are scrambling here in the United States for decent jobs, and what has happened is that they, you know, through the NAFTA and CAFTA and various outsourcing you know, trade policies that are in place, you know, the American worker is scrambling to get a job at $9, $10, $11, $12 an hour that easily they could have worked 20, 25 years ago for, you know, $15 to $17 an hour. You know, it's absolutely repugnant, and so you know, when I think of special interest today, what I think of is the corporate structure, which seems to have which seems to be in cahoots, with the Bush administration, with other Republican allies, to basically blackmail counties and municipalities into forcing them to give them, you know, these concessions in the forms of incentives to make them locate within the U.S. We had to beg them to stay here. How sick is that, Dave? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know, but I think their goal is far worse. I think that they want to have millions of people willing to compete for sub-minimum wage jobs with no benefits and no power to redress, no way to come back at the almighty that has got them in that spot. That's a desirable goal, and then still these cons will be saying, how can we get more for us at their expense, you know?
Yeah.
And so to that end, I think they outsource as many jobs as they can, and it's actually rewarded to send a job to Pakistan or India or China. They also open the doors and let immigrants come in that are willing to work for less than most Americans, because that, too, will help to build up this base of so many competing for struggling sub wages that, you know, they can't live on. That's what they want. I think the cons say, they'll say, the poor have much too much and we the rich don't yet have anywhere near enough. They'll be that way until, I don't think there'll ever be an end. Their needs will be insatiable. I think it's the explanation for why we are invading the Middle East oil fields.
Absolutely.
Well, the shifting trillions of dollars into the pockets of Bechtel and Halliburton. That goes right back to these, the whole PNAC group there. It's a nightmare beyond belief. I try to call because I want, you know, my view, I think it's realistic, and I got to try to help make as many people aware as possible of how really dreadful are the criminals that have stolen our government right now.
They most definitely are, David. I hope that the American people are waking up. I really do. You know, it doesn't seem like they are, but I really hope they are.
Well, I think more and more, it doesn't come easily. There are those people, you know, that had just this small, very narrow little thing that sit in front of the box listening to Limbaugh do their thinking for them, that is incapable of a critical thought, told how to argue their talking points. And that kind of person, very hard to get through to. They're not somebody that you can use rational logic on. They just look at, what am I supposed to say in response to this on my paper here? Anyway, you guys do a wonderful job. I'm happy to be a new fan of the Horn here. Huh?
Fantastic.
Thank you
very much. Glad to have you aboard.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure to be here.
All right.
Stay with it, guys.
Dave, have a wonderful night.
Thank you, sir. And you too.
Okay. And that's our friend Dave from Eureka, California, brand new fan of the Horn. We're going to take our break. When we come back, more of your phone calls, if you make them. And perhaps we'll get into some emails and some other stories. You're listening to Head On with Bob Kincaid, and sitting in for Bob is John Fox and Bruce Birch, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
The rope that's wrapped around me is cutting through my skin, and the doubts that I've surrounded me are finding their way in. I keep it close to me like a holy man prays in my desperate hour. It's better, better that way. So I'll come by and see you again. I'll be such a very good friend. Have mercy on my soul. I will never let you know where my mind has been.
Still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the Supreme Court? I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what goes on inside the Beltway, it helps to have a Beltway insider. And I know what's going on in Washington because I used to work there as a congressional attorney. And my sources still give me the inside scoop. So check out the inside scoop. Weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Joanne, and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community, because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Well, I'll be a son of a bitch. Delmar's been saved.
Well, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. The preacher done washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's a straight and narrow from here on out. And heaven everlasting's my reward.
Delmar, what are you talking about? We got bigger fish to fry.
The preacher said all my sins is washed away, including that Piggly Wiggly I knocked over in Yazoo.
I thought you said you was innocent of those charges.
Well, I was lying. And the preacher said that that sin's been washed away, too. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. Come on in, boys. The water is fine.
Welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid, Brother John, and Brother Bruce filling in at the moment. That was very cool, Agnes. What was that? That was really neat. I don't know if I've ever heard that one before. That was cool, whatever that was. But anyway, Bruce, we're going to go back to that audio that played in the wrong spot earlier.
Okay.
Because of my brain fart. But anyway. Okay, Fox News on Your World, the text on screen for this piece said, the number one president on Mideast matters, George W. Bush. And they had, what is his name, Jonathan S. Tobin, the executive editor of the Jewish Exponent. Okay, so, sorry, I'm going to be real general about this. Zionist nutbag. So please, Agnes, play this bit of audio.
All right, well, first the ceasefire, now the credit. Many critics were betting that President Bush would fail the test on the Israel and Hezbollah conflict. Not my next guest. Jonathan Tobin says that this president's handling of the Middle East is the best this generation has seen by far. He's executive editor of the Jewish Exponent. So this president is better on the Middle East than Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton. Explain.
I think it's pretty easy to see why. Unlike President Carter and certainly President Clinton, who's the immediate past example, President Bush has gotten rid of some of the failed policies of the past, which whenever there has been a crisis involving Israel and its Arab enemies, the instinct has always been to appease the Arabs and try and pressure Israel not to take a military advantage or not to defend itself fully. What we've seen in the last month is an example of President Bush having Israel's back. If Israel's military efforts in the last month have not resulted in a resounding victory, and like most Americans, Jewish and non-Jewish, I've been certainly rooting for them, and it doesn't look as if it's been a resounding victory, but the responsibility of that doesn't lie on President Bush. He gave Israel the green light it needed to do what it thought it needed to do, and hasn't tried to play the same game that with As President Clinton did with Yasser Arafat, inviting him to the White House constantly and trying to raise the ante for Israel.
But
that's
let me
just
ask
not
you
the
something.
Way it's gone.
Liar! Liar!
Okay. 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 Before I even go and rage on this, okay, I want to talk about this ceasefire, okay? Ceasefire is declared with a time set. Now, normally I would think when you've declared a ceasefire, you don't actually need to wait until the witching hour to stop killing people.
Oh, yes, and you do, John. This is the neocon agenda. You kill until you're told to stop.
Okay, Bush might be getting Israel's back, but Bush is Israel's backside.
Ooh.
And, you know, I'm going to end up getting a bunch of garbage for this, but I'm sorry. I'm past mincing words. The whole reaction and the way this whole thing has played out for years has been so out of balance. And when you report things so out of balance, it's very easy to say, to try, well, not very easy, but they have to work very hard at trying to make the state of Israel the victim here. And one of the things that we aren't seeing in the media, and there has been more and more of, is Israelis in Israel have been protesting this fight because they see that it's all out of proportion. Just absolutely insane. And I see that we have Steady on line one, but I'm going to tell him to hold on because this was a short segment. We're coming up on our bottom of the hour break before we get into our last half hour, Bruce. So what we might do is go ahead and take that break. Let us all have a little bit of a breather after another bit of rage audio. And we'll come back with our good mate, Steady. I haven't spoken with him in quite a while. I'm looking forward to it. So you got Bruce and John looking at religion, you know, racism, the whole kit and caboodle. So hang tight. We'll be back. We got a few messages. Bruce and I'll be back with Head on the Head On Radio Network right after this.
Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm, Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today. Our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution.
Keep on talking now. It's our
Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on The Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
I'm invincible!
You're a loony.
Domine, whack, whack, whack. Sorry. I got a little wrapped up in the moment there. This is Bruce Birch, and I'm bringing you back in from the break. It's about 35 minutes past the hour, and John Fox is joining me from down under there, the table. No. The Earth, the planet, the spinning sphere that we're on in this this global travel. I'm just going crazy here. Hey, John.
How you doing? I was like, "On what are we playing quarters while we're doing the show? Why would I be under the table?"
La 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 la.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we should get the phones, mate, because we got our good mate of the horn, Steady, on the line. How you going, buddy?
Steadymon.
Wow. Hi, guys. Hi, Bruce and Agnes and Bob and John. John, we haven't seen.
Hola, hola, señor.
Hi. I missed the weekend shows and. And waiting for it to come back bigger, better, and stronger, John, Fourth of State Radio.
Yeah, we'll definitely be working on it. It's
definitely going to. Bruce and I have had a little bit of a think about things as the network has grown, and we kind of want to bring the show back a little bit to where we were gearing it at first, when the network kind of started, when we started this whole thing. It kind of took a direction that was all great for our development, and we've had a great time, but we really wanted to do a little bit more focus. We're actually going to bring it back to a more of a pre-produced thing, but much more of an in-depth magazine show, which was more of what we were after originally. And so we thought we'd take a few weeks off, have a little bit of a think, have a little bit of a retool, and then we're going to bring it back, maybe even in a slightly more friendly time slot for some of you all, and just kind of do some of that coverage a little bit different from the rest of the weekday fare. But that's not why you rang up, Steady. I know that. What brings you to the show?
Well, there's a lot going on legally with what I'm doing in politics, but you know, with Lebanon and Israel and the tensions somewhat, you know, subsiding for a moment. I need to take a look at what, you know, the potentials of that, and now is the time. If we can't shut it down, I just want to present or submit that in this interim right now, I think it was 1771 or 1701, the security resolution number, we need to somehow hold the people to the fire, hold our representatives to the fire, and look at realistic economic development and peace treaties consistent with that which was promised, not only the PLO, but the entire region, security and work. And these people have enough oil in the area for some time to come, but they don't have any water. They don't have enough water. Water wars are going all over the world, and water's a pretty big resource there. I don't hear too many people talking about the water, but I think there's a two-state PLO solution coming out with Israel and Palestine and working that whole region as a whole, not a single issue. Stop, ceasefire. Okay, how are we going to keep the ceasefire while they move over here? And I want to just introduce before I go back, turn it back to you and get your thoughts on that, is that a couple of weeks before the Lebanon crisis broke out, you had Netanyahu in Colorado with Cheney. And they were doing high-level strategic meetings, and they weren't really commenting on about what they discussed. And, not too long after that, Lebanon broke out. I just want to turn it back to you, and then as I give it back to you, consider this event in 1967 regarding the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty. That was something where the U.S. government excused military actions against killing men on the boat, U.S. ship in international waters. Why is this tolerated? I'm just wondering, if you maybe get a little feedback from you and some of the callers in the chat room, or this is the element. These are the military people who think they own nations and control. And I think we got to hold our officials to the fire.
If I can jump in here first, Bruce. Well, you're talking about what do we do now that we have a ceasefire? From what I've been able to gather off the resolution, again, it's an out-of-balance situation. There is all the responsibility on Lebanon to dismantle Hezbollah, which they really don't have the direct ability to do, but there is no pressure on Israel to stop strategic bombing of infrastructure. And they continued to bomb right up until the witching hour. And they keep calling it ceasefire, but I don't know if you've heard, Israel is still bombing. Israel has said it's going to take 7 to 10 days to pull the troops back. It didn't take them that long to get in. And I think, I'm glad that the conflict has settled to a point. Of course I am, because I just can't stand the concept of people being killed for somebody else's cause. I just think this, this is nonsense. But again, we are in the situation of, we are putting unbalanced expectations. Again, it's all about Hezbollah as opposed to the fact that, Hezbollah might have fired some rockets, but it was Israel that went in there with highly accurate tactical weapons and destroyed the electrical grid, as you mentioned, the water system, all their major roads, their domestic airports. And we need to have the same kind of pressure put on Israel as we were putting on Lebanon and Hezbollah, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Bruce, what's your take on that? I mean, is there some reason why we can't do that? I mean, is there some allegiance is there some body here that's overriding, the interest of the people? I mean, that's a rhetorical question, but maybe you can weigh in on that too.
Well, I think actually Bruce had to step away for just a second. Something's taken his attention at his studio, but he will be back shortly. But you've probably, caught a little bit about, me talking about my mate Anthony Lowenstein, who's written this really wonderful book called My Israel Question, and you can actually find it and order it through myisraelquestion.com. And this is a young Australian Jewish man who has grown up originally in a very right-wing household. But when he dated his first Polish girl, Polish-Australian. His parents had a problem, and he saw had a problem with that, saying that they had to stick with their own. And he didn't. He just didn't see it that way. And through wonderful self-education, he also has his degree from the biggest Jewish university in Australia. He went to Monash. And we need to hear more of this even debate. You know, here is a guy who believes, and I think many of us on the planet actually believe this, that all these people have a right to their nation, they all have a right to their sovereignty, and they all have a right to a life. But we're not holding all parties accountable to the same standard.
I'd agree with
and
that.
And we also know... And you mentioned about, you know, Cheney and secret talks and whatnot. I'm sorry, you know, you go and look at Seymour Hersh's piece and whatnot, the most recent one, one of Bruce's and my favorite people. It definitely seems as this may have been, for many reasons, one of them, to try and get Hezbollah to waste its armaments so that when Bush does decide to go into Iran, they won't have anything left in which to strike Israel with.
Yeah, it sounds like imperialistic military strategy. Wear them down, divide and conquer. I want to go back to the Liberty being a Navy guy and point to, you know, 4 or 5 Congressional Medal of Honor people who, I mean, here they go, receive the highest military award under, you know, in the face of an enemy combatant, and they're all asking the same thing. Why is Israel allowed to bomb, you know, all 3 forces? You had the Air Force, the Navy, and the Army. They came in with aircraft from all different directions and napalmed the bridge and knocked out communications, and then torpedo gunships came and, you know, they tried to sink it. And then, gunships, you know, helicopters came over to pick people off if there were any survivors in the water. This is an account of the crew. The crew gave this account, and the captain was awarded a Congressional Medal of Honor for gallantry and actually making 5 of the 6 fired torpedoes miss. He identified the gunboats as approaching at a high speed and torpedo launch angle. And, you know, it just hit him. They were doing drills. It was a clear day. The flag was up. And the United States excused the whole action as a case of mistaken identity. Now, I submit to people here, if they go through that stuff, I forgot who the ambassador was, but he said the biggest implication of the attack and the excuse of the United States was that if the United States government wasn't going to, you know, reprimand or discipline the Israeli government for attacking a U.S. vessel and killing men on deck, any type of skirmish or human rights type of violations on land in their own region would be insignificant. And, you know, that's 1967, but they do these things over time to see people's reactions, and they excused it. I mean, people have to see that loss of liberty. It's a documentary. I think you find it on Amy Goodman. But the people would be shocked if they really heard the testimonies of these Congressional Medal of Honors recipients and the crew of the Liberty themselves. This is the element that's running our military, folks. And if people actually become aware of this, we will empower ourselves to hold these people to the fire, because they really don't know themselves. The congressmen, the senators, they're serving our dollar and our banking system. They really don't care. They have allegiance to something other than the people. And I think more and more people are becoming aware of that. And shows like this and Fourth Estate and Head On and Bruce Burge and Mike Malloy and Tom Hartman, more and more people are getting hip to the fact that it's time to speak up. It's time to light the torches.
Well, yeah, and I seriously, you know, I've been saying this for months. You know, I really think we've already gotten to the point where the political system is not necessarily going to get us out of this. This is, again, is one of those things people will label me as a radical or a wacko. But as far as I remember, the Constitution says that when my government oversteps its bounds and it starts to not serve the people, I have a constitutional duty to tear it down and rebuild it.
Yeah, I think they use the word throw off, abolish. install a new, form of government, which will help us meet these, get us there. I think that's a declaration of independence. But, yeah, throw off and abolish. Folks, this is our time. This is it, man.
It is the time, and if we wait too long, it's going to end up being too late. And I'm really worried that they're going to find an excuse to either not have a 2008 presidential election, or one of these bills that's been trying to take off term limits will pop in, and then it's all down to the voting machines keeping the whole thing going.
Yeah, I mean, the electronic era of data, compromised our elections, our bank accounts, our everything from our government to Social Security and Veterans Affairs. It's frightening. The average person doesn't know, and if they actually came upon it, half of them might just freak out and have a heart attack. The other half might think about doing something.
Yeah, I think you're right, Steady. And I'm gonna have to wrap you up there because we're coming up on our final break. I'm gonna have to come back and wrap this whole thing up. But it's really good to hear from you, man. I've missed talking to you.
Very cool, John. I'm looking forward to Fourth Estate coming back.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. That's really, really great to hear. And Bruce and I really can't wait. And we hope to really I don't know how else to describe it, but I want to create the 60 minutes of the head-on radio network. And that's kind of the idea, getting some real in-depth reporting going on and dealing with some serious issues. And we have something already selected for the first show, and I can't wait to do it because it's something that's not covered. But Steady, thanks for ringing in, mate. You rock. We love hearing from you.
Thank you, and everyone in the chat room. God bless you. Love you. Thank you.
All right. That was the one and only Steady who has run for office and gotten screwed. And we'll talk to him about that sometime as well. So we're going to take our final break. Bruce should be back with me once we come back, and we'll wrap this prayer meeting edition up of Head On. You're listening to John and Bruce filling in for Bob on the Head On Radio Network.
Personal Jesus, someone to hear your prayers, someone who cares, your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers, someone who's there.
There's a place on the web you can go where everything is so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there working hard for you every day. It's a place where you can go to raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. So stop on by. The 101st Fighting Keyboardists of Kansas are ready to hear your opinion. There are topics of news, current events, and great humor. So let Clyde, Wally, and Dookie know that you're a working person too. WD40.com. Stop on by.
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from the inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, it's about the oil. And you actually, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James, weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and Even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Off!
Now we see the violence inherent in the system! Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed! Bloody peasant!
That's right, your own personal Jesus.
Help, I'm being repressed!
Welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. This is Bruce Birch, and down there doing the giggling thing is our good friend John Fox. Sorry I had to vamoose a little bit there for a moment, had to take care of a situation, but I'm back for the last 5 minutes of the show. Woohoo! John.
Yes.
It's been fun, eh?
Oh, well, of course it is, man. There's something about this time slot that, late night you get interesting callers. This time slot you get more regular callers and whatnot, and it just makes the whole thing flow really nicely, and I really appreciate Agnes doing that little bookend there. We went out from the last break on Johnny Cash's cover of the song of the Manson track that we just heard coming back in. Nicely done. But, yeah, this has been a blast. It always is. You and I always kind of dive right into it, you know. We always try to have a good time because if we didn't have a laugh, man, we'd all go mad.
Mad! Okay. That felt good. You should try that.
You're a loony.
You're not a loony. I'm a loony. Boy, it's a good thing we're going off the air in 5 minutes, huh?
Yeah. but I think we should run through the list of credits. Tonight's show was produced, as usual, by the wonderful Agnes Kincaid in West Virginia. Our news ninja who rang in earlier and keeps the blog running, Gene, you rock. Peter Godbold, who I haven't seen hiding her hair of this evening. I hope
he's hiding. He's hiding in a little liberal box.
Ah, right. Well, he's a good man. Keeps our computers running. And Ben Birch of White Rose Society, because he streams everything, archives everything.
Go give the man a donation. Okay. He needs it to keep the recorders spinning over there, folks. He really needs some help. So please go help him out. Do the right thing.
Yeah. No doubt. And of course, to the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights, who make everything on this network happen. And I've been informed, Bruce, that our mate Bob and our mate Wayne have arrived at their destination. So they have unloaded and they're getting ready to put forth the Head On Radio Network in front of the big union boys. So it should be some interesting stuff tomorrow. So because Mark's going to be broadcasting and so is Bob from D.C. Is that right?
That's correct.
I think
that's my understanding. I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, you'll just have to tune in to find out. And tomorrow's programming on the horn kicks off with Dr. Bill O'Brien. And I'm telling you, man, I'm having such a great time listening to that guy's show. It is such a different flavor from
everything else that we do here. And I just always feel like a mental